The following program's views, claims, or representations may not reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Media Group.
Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight. Hope you'll be able to stick with us and join in the conversation here this evening. And we're going to have our phone lines open tonight at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. You can give us a call, 888-677-9673, and let's go ahead and open our program this evening with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. We just pray that you would bless the program, use it for your glory, help us to be a blessing, encouragement to somebody tonight, help us point people to Christ, help us to encourage believers, Lord. We just thank you in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, again, like I said, good to be with you here tonight, and I'm just going to try and move some things around here on the table here in front of me so that we can hopefully see what I'm doing. But like I said, good to be with you tonight. I just want to remind you, of course, my name is Al Davis, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can find us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can link to our home church page from there. You can also link to our Facebook page, or you can find us directly on Facebook at Live with Pastor Al. That's right on Facebook.com /livewithpastoral, and that should help you find us there. And a reminder, too, we are, in addition to being broadcast on the air live right now from our home station here, AM 1220, The Word, here in Independence, Ohio, just outside of Cleveland. We're also, of course, on 1440 in Warren, Ohio, and Faith Talk 570 910 WTBN down in Tampa right now. And we're online with our Facebook Live broadcast, and it looks like that's on, and it looks like everything's running there. So hopefully the volume's coming through on Facebook Live, and we'll be able to carry that through okay there. But I want to talk about a number of things tonight. But again, just to check us out online, livewithpastoral.com. I like to mention that, sort of the one-stop shop where you can start there and find a number of things and information about myself, links to our church webpage, and as I said, our Facebook page. And also, I have a link to some other materials and things on that page. Also have on that page some of our past programs. And so I like to encourage you to go there. You can see some of our past programs there at livewithpastoral.com. And I had another paper I'm going to look for here. Let me just run over here and see if I can find that. Oh, there we go. Getting started with my program here. I couldn't find one of the notes that I had. But, excuse me, I also have links to some various news reports on our Facebook page that you can check out. And I have kind of an eclectic interest things, but you'll find pretty quickly that I have a big interest in issues dealing with science, and especially creation and evolution, and in national security issues, and in particular dealing with Islam. Those are some of my favorite topic areas, and so there'll be a number of articles there. And if time permits, I would like to be able to address some of those things here tonight as well. There are some developments there with North Korea, Iran, and things like that I'd like to talk about. But as we said, we are a live program, and you can call in with your questions and about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And we have Tom calling in tonight, and Tom has a question for us this evening. Tom, welcome to the program.
Hey, Pastor, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Tom. How are you?
Hello, Pastor.
I've got you, Tom.
Hello.
You hear me there, Tom?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. You just weren't hearing me at first, so I think we got you now.
Okay. Sounds good. Real quick, I've been reading the book of Zechariah, and it seems to be, the early part seems to be God preserving Israel,
mm-hmm.
His plans to preserve it in spite of his judgment against it. And in the latter part, it seems to be talking about, well, the beginning part seems to be, prophesying the coming of Jesus.
Yes.
And then the latter part seems to be coming future events with Jesus.
Yeah, in fact, especially when you get into the last couple of chapters there, in particular the very last chapter,
yes.
We can see some amazing parallels with the Zechariah chapter 14 and the return of Christ in Revelation, the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 19.
Okay, my question is, as briefly as you can answer it, though, and then I'll get off and listen to the answer, is around chapter 10 there, he's talking about the latter rain and the former rain. What is he talking about, the latter rain? What is that meaning?
All right. Let's take a look here.
I'll just listen to the answer on the air.
Okay, well, thank you, Tom. I appreciate that, and thank you for that question. That's a good question. In Zechariah chapter 10, in verse number 1, the Bible says, "Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain, so the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to everyone grass in the field." And when you're looking at it, this particular passage here, and let me see if I can find something a little bit more detailed on this. Give me just a moment to look over here. There we go. We have the latter rain here. I had a note in my Bible that where I had looked at this once before, looking at a couple different passages here. And so I'm going to tie them in, and we'll see how this works out for us. But I think we're talking about rains in terms of the growing season and all that. That was necessary for, you know, the crops. And here in northeastern Ohio, we've been having kind of a dry summer. The month of the last part of July and going into August has been kind of behind in rain. And, you know, you need some of those rains to help the crops grow. And I'm going back to Jeremiah chapter 3 here. Went a little too far there. There we go. I have a notepad in my way here. Just give me a moment here. I'm going back to Jeremiah chapter 3, and I believe he talks about the latter rains being taken away. So let's see what Jeremiah has to say here. One of the things that you do is you try and compare Scripture with Scripture, and in here it is, Jeremiah chapter 3. The Bible says here in Jeremiah 3, verse number 3, after talking about some of the sins of Israel, he says this in verse 3, "Therefore the showers have been withholden, and there hath been no latter rain. And thou hadst a whore's forehead, thou refusest to be ashamed. Wilt thou not from this time cry unto me, my father? Thou art the guide of my youth." In other words, won't you return, repent from your sin? And he's saying showers have been withholden, meaning held back, and there hath been no latter rain. And these are the rains that would help with ripening, the crops here. Let me go back to Deuteronomy chapter 28. We'll look at another passage here a little further back in the Bible to the book of Deuteronomy. And let's try Deuteronomy here, chapter 28. And I believe there's another reference to the latter rain here. Deuteronomy chapter 28, and let's drop down about the middle of the chapter here, I believe. Starting in verse number 12. "The Lord shall open..." Actually, let's go back up a little bit here to verse number 11. Deuteronomy 28, start verse 11, it says, "And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, in the fruit of thy cattle, in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto his fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven, to give the rain unto the land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow." So he's talking about the blessings on Israel when they obeyed God, when they worshiped God, when they kept his commandments. And as you go down through listening to this list of blessings and how he's going to prosper them, as you get down to verse 15, God says this, "But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day," excuse me, "and that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee." And then there's a number of curses. Now, see, we saw the blessings that they would receive. Remember, Israel entered into a covenant relationship with God, and there were some conditions in this covenant. The condition for God's blessing and prospering them and protecting them was that they would hold to the Lord God only and no other gods, and that they would obey him and keep his commandments, and God would bless them. And then also there was a condition in this covenant that if they would disobey God and not keep his commandments and go after false gods, then there was a series of cursings, cursings being the opposite, of course, of blessings, blessings being a positive thing, cursings being a negative thing. And so he says, if they do not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe all his commandments and his statutes, he said, these curses are going to come upon him. And they start listing a series of curses here. And it starts in verse 16, "Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land, and the increase of thine kine," kine is cattle, "and the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke, and all that thou settest thine hand to do." And he goes on talking about the cursing because of their wickedness. And we come down to, let's go down a little bit further here to verse number 23. It says, "And thy heaven that is over thy head shall be brass, and the earth that is under thee shall be iron." In other words, a drought. The Lord, verse 24, "The Lord shall make the rain of thy land powder and dust. The heaven shall it, from heaven shall it come down upon thee until thou be destroyed. And the Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies, and shalt go out of thy way against them, and flee 7 ways before them, and shalt be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth." So he's talking about withholding the rain. And as we saw in Jeremiah, specifically he's talking about there have been no latter rains during this time because they were under the judgment of God, and God had withheld the latter rains. These are the rains that were necessary as the crops were ripening in the fields so that they could come in, that they would fully grow. It's like I've got a bunch of squash growing right now, and I've got some zucchini plants that should be just producing zucchini like crazy, but it's been so dry and I've been so busy, I've not been watering my garden much, and they're not ripening very fast and they're not bearing much fruit. Same with some of my tomatoes and things. They're just not doing much of anything because it's so dry. And the rain was needed, and withholding the latter rain would be a sign of God's judgment on them because they had disobeyed them. So we come back to Zechariah chapter 10. He said, "Ask ye the," in verse 1, "ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain." This is when they needed the rain to ripen the crops, and he's saying, ask God for it. The idea then comes with repentance, turning to God, confessing their sin, and throwing themselves upon the mercy of the Lord, getting their hearts right with God so that he in turn would bless them. Remember, we're under that Old Testament covenant, the conditional promise that if they blessed God and worshiped and served him alone, he would bless them. And if they didn't, there would a cursing that would come upon them, and part of which was the withholding of the rain, and that included the latter rain, according to Jeremiah, that was being withheld at that time. And so when these rains are being withheld that were necessary, they were to turn to the Lord and put their faith in him, confess their sin, and then he would turn and bless them, and he would send those latter rains so that their crops could come in. And so that's what it says. Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. That's the time when it's needed to ripen the crops. So the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to everyone grass in the field. See? So that's a blessing there. And then he goes in talking about some judgments and things that come from turning to false pastors and things of that nature. But as they're false shepherds, I should say. And then as we go from Zechariah chapter 10 there, and we begin to move through, and as we get into chapter 12 and we get into chapter 13 and 14, we begin to see prophecies that not only deal, we move from the prophecies dealing with Israel during that time frame where they needed the blessing of the Lord back on them, to things that move on into the future. Chapter 11, for instance, in Zechariah chapter 11, verse number 12, for instance, there's a prophecy that was fulfilled at the time of Christ. He says, "And I said unto them, if ye think good, give me my price, and if not, forbear, so they weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver." Now, where did we see that? Well, if you remember back in the spring at Easter time, talking about things that happened when Judas took the money to betray Christ, he received 30 pieces of silver. And so that was the price of a slave, and that's what, and specifically an injured slave, and that's what Zechariah talks. And then guess what happened with that money? Well, he said in verse 13, "And the Lord said unto me, cast it unto the potter, a goodly price that I was prized of them, or out of them. And I took the 30 pieces of silver and cast them to the potter in the house of the Lord." You know what happened with that 30 pieces of silver? Remember, Judas came in after Jesus was betrayed, and he said, "I've betrayed innocent blood," and he threw the silver down in the house of the Lord, in the temple, at the Pharisees, Sanhedrin, and the different ones, the Jewish leaders there. He threw the money down in the house of the Lord, and they said, "Well, we can't put it in the treasury, basically, because it's blood money." And you know what they did with it? They bought the potter's field. The potter's field was a place where, you know, the potters, when they would make pottery, some of the pieces would get broken or just not usable. And so they had a place where they just kind of discarded those pieces of broken pottery and bits of things that were unusable. And they threw them out in this field. And so they used the 30 pieces of silver to buy the potter's field to be a place where they could bury some of these people that didn't have anybody take care of them. So there it is. Just what we see in Zechariah chapter 11, verses 12 and 13 was fulfilled in the lifetime of Christ. And then, of course, in chapter 12, we can see something that's being fulfilled right before our eyes today. And this is amazing when you think about it. It says in Zechariah chapter 12, verse number 3, well, actually, let's go back and start with verse number 1. Zechariah 12, verse 1 says, "The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which stretcheth forth the heavens and layeth the foundation of the earth and formeth the spirit of man within him." And there's a lot of interesting topics in there. But I want to move on to verse 2. It says, "Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about." And then it says, "When they shall be in siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem." Well, you know, Jerusalem's not a very big city, really. You think about it on the world stage. It's in the news so much. Just a few weeks ago, they had the incident on the Temple Mount where some Muslim terrorists had guns that they had smuggled onto the Temple Mount, and for a while, Israel started establishing some security procedures where they set in place metal detectors. Now, most of our listeners have been through metal detectors. If you've ever traveled at the airport, you've been through metal detectors. And we understand the principle. Well, the Arabs began rioting. Muslims began rioting and attacking. And there were innocent Jewish people in Israel that were killed during this time frame. And the reason they were rioting was because of this horrible thing that the Israelis were doing by making them go through metal detectors before you went up on the Temple Mount. Now, if you went to see any of the other important sites in Jerusalem from the Christian perspective or the Jewish perspective, my understanding is you go through metal detectors in many of those sites. I have not yet heard about Jews and Christians rioting over having to go through metal detectors in and around Jerusalem, but the Muslims did. And so finally, they relinquished, they took away the metal detectors. You know, it's kind of hard to sneak your guns and your explosives and your knives and stuff up on the Temple Mount when you have metal detectors in place. So they got their wish. The metal detectors are gone. But Jerusalem has been a cup of trembling. And people talk about it. It's been 50 years since Israel recaptured Jerusalem and the Temple Mount and all of these things. And even before then, Jerusalem has been a cup of trembling unto all the people round about. It's just a little town. I've been told that if you're familiar with Toledo, Ohio, it's a similar size. I'm not sure if that's the best city size-wise to compare it to, but it's not a huge city. It's not like a New York City or even a Tampa or a Cleveland or something like that, or a Cincinnati or an Atlanta. It's much smaller. It's more like the size, I guess, of an Akron or a Youngstown or a Toledo or something like that. But it's a cup of trembling unto all people round about. We see that today. And then in verse 3 here in Zechariah chapter 12, verse 3, it says, "And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people." Now, here's a question. How many presidents can you think of that have burdened themselves with Jerusalem and trying to bring some plan together to bring peace to Jerusalem? Well, let me think. Though I wasn't alive at the time, President Franklin Roosevelt, he was opposed to there being a Jewish state in the Middle East. And he says, as long as I'm president, there will never be a Jewish state. And about a week later, he had a massive stroke and died. And his vice president, Harry Truman, became president. And Harry Truman, in 1948, made the United States the first country in the world to recognize the new sovereign state of Israel when they declared their statehood. And he was told by all his advisors that he shouldn't do it, but Harry Truman, because of his childhood growing up in church, he realized that God had a plan for the Jewish people and for that part of the world. And contrary to what his predecessors said, he recognized the Jewish state of Israel. And, we can just continue on. Eisenhower struggled with some of the situations in Israel. So did Kennedy. So did Johnson. So did Nixon. So did Carter. So did Ford. So did, we had Ford and then Carter. I got those two mixed up, but it's late at night. And then, of course, Reagan and Bush, and then Clinton, and then the second Bush, and then Obama, and now President Trump. They've all had struggles with it. And not just them. Other countries, France and Britain and Russia and all of the various peoples of the world, all that burden themselves, he says, with that shall be cut in pieces, and all the people of the earth shall be gathered together against it. And what do you see happening in the UN? You see more resolutions against Israel and Jerusalem in particular than against pretty much all the other countries and cities of the world combined. It's unreal. And this little town, and this is what we see happening today. And then, of course, as you go further in Zechariah, we're running out of time here in this half hour, we see a number of things. But that leads me to something else that maybe we'll get into in the second half of the program. Right now, there are about 40,000 trained soldiers that Hezbollah has that are in southern Syria and Lebanon, mostly in Lebanon. Unfortunately, Lebanon has just about been taken over by Hezbollah. Hezbollah is basically an arm of the Ayatollahs in Iran, the Shiite Muslims. Hezbollah is the party of God. And They've got about 40,000 trained soldiers. This is not just militia. These are people that have battle experience and good training. And you say, well, they've been bogged down in northern Syria fighting against ISIS. Because remember, they're Shiite and ISIS is Sunni. And well, yeah, they have been. But Iran is sending government troops in to northern Syria. And so these Hezbollah troops are being freed up. And they also have some intelligence estimates, 200,000 to 220,000 missiles in Lebanon right now aimed at Israel. These missiles, if you remember back the battle between Israel and Hamas recently, and a couple of years ago, the missiles that Hezbollah have greater range. They can reach all of Israel, and they also have greater accuracy. And they, like I said, 200 to 220 million of these missiles right now, and they're stored in, I'm sorry, million, 200 to 220,000. I get my tongue wrapped around my high teeth and I can't see what I'm saying. 200 to 220,000 missiles Hezbollah has right now aimed at Israel. And they've got them stashed away in schools, in courtyards around apartment buildings, on the grounds of hospitals, and all these kinds of things. Now, that's contrary to the rules of modern warfare. You wouldn't think that warfare has rules, but it does. And this makes those places legitimate military targets, especially if they start launching missiles from there. And the Israelis, when they were fighting in Gaza against Hamas, who was raining missiles down on them, and when they had missiles being fired out of a school or an apartment building or something, they would drop leaflets and say, listen, you got 12 hours to get out of this building because in 12 hours, we're leveling the place. And it's a legitimate military operation. They weren't required to do that. But once the missiles are being fired from those places, that turns them into military sites and makes them legitimate targets. With this many missiles and this many trained soldiers poised to attack Israel imminently, well, Israel's not going to have the time and the luxury of dropping warning leaflets. They're going to have to act, and they're going to have to act quickly. And the question is not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. Well, stay tuned. We'll talk about this some more in the second half, and just stay tuned.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Why? Well, because the Bible says, there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis,
Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program.
Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, and I hope you'll be able to stick with us and even join in the conversation. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we can get you on the program here this evening. And I want to mention, too, of course, you can find us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can click with us or link with us on Live with Pastor Al on Facebook. Just go to facebook.com, look for us Live with Pastor Al, and you can find us. We're online right there right now, and got a good audience tonight online. I think it's been one of our bigger nights, Sunday night online, so glad to hear everybody listening online. Appreciate that. And so thanks for watching us there, and thanks for hanging on with us there. Let's see. I don't know for sure, because I don't know how often I have to refresh my page to do this, because I'm still learning this Facebook Live stuff. But I think if somebody who's listening on Facebook Live or watching there was to type a question in the comments section, I might be able to get it. But certainly feel free to give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And even if you don't want to come on the air, if you're not comfortable doing that, you can give our call screener, Andrew, in there. I could put him to work. You can give him your question, and he'll get it to me. So just to encourage you to do that. Also, reminder, not only are we brought to you tonight by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, where I'm the pastor, certainly invite you to visit us there, but also by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. And East Coast Pizza is located at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. And you can call them for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. If you mention Live with Pastor Al, you can get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. Now, of course, some of you are a little far away. You're probably not going to want to even go there for a $5 pizza. But here's another thing, and this is one of the reasons we mention this as well. If you're interested in opening your own pizza shop, or maybe you have a restaurant and you need a good pizza recipe, give East Coast Pizza a call at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100, and ask for Gus. He can help you get started in your own pizza business for a whole lot less than what you might think possible. It's not a franchise. It'd be your own business. It's his own recipe. And trust me, it's good. I just had some yesterday. In fact, before I came on on Thursday, I did have a piece of it yesterday. I think it had some leftover, and had enough leftover that I actually had a piece warmed up tonight, had it before I came on the radio this evening. So, and it warmed up pretty good. I said, so it's a good pizza. That's East Coast Pizza at 4889 Turney Road in Garfield Heights, 216-341-9100. And tell them you heard about it here on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. All right. Well, prior to the break, I was mentioning there at the end of the last half hour about how Israel has been, or Jerusalem in particular, has become a rock of offense to the world. And the world is struggling over what to do with the situation there in Israel. And I was talking about the threat that Israel is under right now. Now, some of you, I know, are aware of this, but some people haven't heard this, because mostly what we've been hearing in the news right now is the threat in North Korea. And yes, that is a real threat. Some people think there's no real threat there, but there is a threat there. And
you know, this reflects what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24. He said, ye shall, in verse 6, he said, ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. And that's what we're hearing right now, wars and rumors of wars. And they're talking generally that it's not a matter of if, but when Kim Jong-un decides that he wants to do something stupid and fire off some missiles that may or may not contain nuclear warheads. Interestingly enough, we found out this past week that the Obama administration, going back to about 2013, was aware that the North Koreans had miniaturized their nuclear weapons to the size that they can fit inside of warheads that would go on the missiles that they're currently, that they've currently been test firing. Now that's disconcerting. Now I know there's question that even if they could get them in there, would they survive, you know, the launch and the reentry to be able to effectively explode, and how much accuracy do they have? But the thing that concerns me with that is you don't need a whole lot of accuracy to do an electromagnetic pulse attack. And basically the idea was there is with that is that you explode a nuclear weapon at a certain altitude and it will affect all the electronics within a fairly widespread region, depending on the size of the bomb and the type of output of the radiation and the altitude that it explodes and things like that. A bomb that was exploded, I forget the height right off the top of my head, over the central part of the United States could take out most of the electronics within the United States. Certainly, if they fired several of them and they were able to explode one generally over the western part of the country, over the central part of the country, and then over the eastern part of the country, they could basically devastate our electronic our electric grid, our infrastructure, our electronics, and everything. You say, well, no problem. If the electricity goes out, the power grid goes down, I've got a generator. I'm okay. Your generator's got electronics in it. And the electromagnetic pulse, or EMP, would fry many of the electronics, anything above the vacuum tube. Now, if you've got a vacuum tube radio at home, you know, that would quite likely still work if you can get electricity to it. But if it's got transistors, if it's got the little microchips and things like that, well, yeah, they could be fried. And the generator that you're counting on, the electronics that start it and run it, it might be fried and you can't run it. And it just goes on and on and on. The electronics that run your car could be fried. You got all these sorts of things that could potentially happen. Now, we're concentrating on that. And of course, he's threatening to strike Guam. And it's been very heartening, some things that have come out this past week. I'm going to get back to Iran and Israel and Hezbollah here in a minute. I'm actually building towards that. Is that the threat of striking Guam, because probably he's more concerned that his more medium range, or you know, the not quite as far range missiles that he has, he might have a better chance of getting in the vicinity of Guam and shooting a number of missiles there. But Japan has said that since any missiles from North Korea basically would pass over Japan, parts of Japan, part of their territory, they would engage them. They would shoot them down. And another thing that was interesting this past week is the Chinese, which is always a concern, of course, they said that if the United States attacks first, they would defend their allies. One guy at church said their puppet. I said, well, yeah, but in diplomatic language, they have to say ally. They would defend their ally, North Korea. And that's true. But what was interesting is they said if North Korea fires first, they will sit back and take a neutral position. And in other words, they said that they would allow the United States to defend itself. And the Australians also came out this past week, said that they would come to the U.S. aid. And of course, Britain, you would think, well, they're just so far away. Now, if you look on a globe, you'll find that Britain, all of Britain and much of Northern Europe and part most of Europe is in within range of the North Korean ballistic missiles as well. So there's a lot of people concerned about this right now. And with all the attention going there, you have to remember that in many of the cases in North Korea, when they have been testing these missiles and testing their nuclear weapons. Also present there has been Iranian scientists and military personnel. And so when you look at that, it doesn't take much to realize that when you look at the Iranian missiles, many of them are based on the North Korean missiles. And the North Koreans, of course, got a lot of their missile technology from the Japanese. And the Japanese, of course, if you remember back in the 90s under President Bill Clinton, President Bill Clinton sent a lot of our missile technology to Japan, or to, did I say Japanese? The Chinese. Like I said, it's late. The Chinese, the North Koreans got their missile technology from the Chinese. And at least I caught myself on that before I went too far down that road. They got their missile technology from the Chinese, and the Chinese got that in the 90s. The Clinton administration allowed them, and that was when there was some questionable fundraising things coming, it appeared money funneled from China into the Bill Clinton presidential campaign at that time, and then also later when Al Gore tried to run for president as well. And so we have this tie-in with Iran and North Korea. Well, Iran is over there lobbing missiles around and test-firing missiles that are basically written on the side, death to Israel. Now, nobody has any idea what they want with those Israels just because they paint death to Israel on it. And nobody would have a clue what they mean to do with those missiles. And so here you got Kim Jong-un, which, you know, possibly is a nutcase, and believing that he's the most powerful man in the world, that North Korea is the most powerful country in the world, and that the North Korean military is the most powerful military in the world, and the United States isn't even hardly a paper tiger. So you got him over there, unstable enough that he could believe his own praise and possibly think that he might launch some kind of strike, at least against a U.S. territory like Guam or U.S. interests, a naval battle group or something like that. And it could spark some war and battles in the Korean Peninsula. So all the world's attention has been drifting that way a little bit. But then there's Iran, which the Ayatollahs there, as Shiite Muslims, they're part of the group that believe in the 12th Imam. Remember Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, previous president, I believe it was, of Iran. He was one of these people that believed that the 12th Imam is hiding in a well where he's been hiding for hundreds of years down in this well. And he used to actually drop gifts down to him. And they believe that if they can bring the world to the brink of annihilation, that just as the world is about to annihilate itself, that the 12th Imam will rise up out of this well, and he, accompanied with Muhammad and Jesus, will lead the Shiite Muslims, and of course led by Iran, because they're the ones who are sponsoring this thought, lead them to victory, and they will vanquish all the foes of Allah, and they will set up a Shiite Muslim paradise on the earth with Iran at its head. Now, when you've got a country that really believes that, I'm reminded of what I heard somebody say a long time ago. I went to a seminar and a guy was talking about cult and occultic crime, and Cops for Christ had done it. This guy was a national expert in cult and occultic crime, investigating them. He traveled all over the country speaking to police groups, and they invited some of the local clergy in. And I remember seeing this, and as he was talking about these various crimes that were done by various cult groups and crimes with occultic connections, he made a statement that stuck with me. He said, "It's not important whether or not you believe in that stuff. It's what's important is that they believe it." And so let me come back to the 12th Iman nonsense. It doesn't matter whether you and I believe that this nonsense with the 12th Imam has any merit. What's important is that the Iranian leadership believes that, and that the Iranian leadership is working with the North Koreans and is privy to much of their missile technology, and very easily, for a cash payment, could obtain some of their nuclear weapons that are already made. I read one article last week that suggested the North Koreans may have as much as 60 nuclear weapons already produced. Whether or not they're all viable is another story, but you know, they could buy one. And then here's the other thing with that. whether or not you and I believe in the 12th Imam, you've got a nation that's trying to get nuclear weapons and trying to develop missiles that not only can they destroy Europe, but they can also reach America. And this nation believes that it's their duty to bring the world to the brink of annihilation so the 12th Imam will come and save the day and set them up as the world leaders. It doesn't matter whether you believe that or not. What matters is they believe that, and they control missiles, and they control Hezbollah with 40,000 troops massed in Lebanon and 200,000 to 220,000 missiles in Lebanon poised to fire on Israel imminently. And when I say imminently, I mean it could happen tomorrow. It could happen next week. We don't know. And again, I heard several intelligence experts this past week say that, you know, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And they're poised and they're ready to go. And they believe it's going to happen by the end of the year. One person believed that it would be probably several months, perhaps a few months before it happens. There's only about 5 months left in the year. The other one believed it might only be a few weeks. But whatever the case is, that's pretty close, isn't it? And so we're looking at the very real possibility of something breaking out in North Korea. If I were the Iranians, I could see where they would want to encourage Kim Jong-un to do something there so that the world's attention would be distracted so that they could launch a strike on Israel with the goal of destroying Israel. And, well, hey, it's something that would quickly escalate in the Middle East. And remember, we've talked about it before, the Psalm 83 battle, which could result in a nuclear exchange in the Middle East, potentially. In fact, on our website, livewithpastoral.com, I have a link to a book I read wrote several years ago, a short book called The Coming Arab-Israeli Nuclear War. I encourage you to go check that out. But we can talk about some more of these things. Let me give out that phone number, and I've got somebody who's waiting patiently for me. And that number again is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And I've got Jeremiah on the line. Jeremiah, thanks for waiting tonight.
Always a good sermon.
Well, thank you. I wanted to get some of that information out. I've been to a number of things this past week, reading a number of things this past week, and the world, you know, Matthew chapter 24, as I read earlier, Jesus said you should hear wars and rumors of wars. I didn't read the rest of that. He said, "See that ye be not troubled," because as a believer in Christ and believing God's word, we know how it all ends up. So, but at any rate, back to your question.
You know, Jesus predicted the future.
Yes.
He predicted what was going to happen. And it's we are definitely in times.
Mm-hmm. So.
You know, just a matter of time before he comes back and takes us home and we'll be, you know, in heaven.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, we see the things, and in our last half hour, we were talking about some of the things in Zechariah, and there's some terrible things that are going to happen to this world, according to Zechariah, according to Revelation. But the end result is, you know, the return of Christ, setting up a kingdom in this world. And, you know, the Jewish people were waiting for the Messiah to come to set up a kingdom. And they missed the part that he had to suffer and die to pay for our sins first. But fact of the matter is, you know, Jesus said in Luke chapter 21, he said, when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And, I'm not saying that the Lord's going to come back at 6 p.m. on September 23rd or something like that. What I am saying is that, you know, we live in those latter days. And as war with North Korea and or Israel and Hezbollah / Iran may be imminent, the return of Christ is imminent. It could happen at any time.
Well, you hear the sound of the trumpet. You know, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 talks about the sound of the trumpet.
That's right.
We'll be raptured and taken out of here.
Yeah, we'll be caught up to meet him in the air. And you know what's interesting? Go ahead.
I feel sorry for the non-believers that don't believe. You know, they're, you know, of course, it's our mission to preach to them and, you know, spread the gospel. and get them to be saved. But, you know, feel sorry for the if they left behind in the tribulation, they're going to feel the wrath of God, and, you know, hell's going to break loose literally. I mean, I'm not, you know, it's going to really happen.
Yeah. Well, and you're absolutely right on that. I was going to turn up our volume on here a little bit, so hopefully I just happened to catch online here that some people were saying they were having trouble hearing the audio. Unfortunately, I have no sense of the audio that's going out over Facebook Live, so I apologize for people who are trying to hear us there. So I just turned it up a little bit there, and I'm going to bump it up a little bit more, and hopefully people can hear something there. We're still working on that. This is a work in progress. Sorry to interrupt you there, Jeremiah. I just happened to notice that some people were saying that they were having problems with the audio there. So hopefully that improved it a little bit there. But yeah, I mean, it's our responsibility to go into all the world, the Bible says, and preach the gospel. And you're right to mention that. So,
you have a blessed week. God bless.
Thank you, Jeremiah. I appreciate that. And I appreciate you bringing that up. And as we come down to the last few minutes here, I can still get you in probably. We got a couple of minutes left. Maybe get one more call in. 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And, you know, I just want to remind people, just as I read there in Luke chapter 21, there about verse number 28, when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. If you know Christ is your Savior, you should not be overwhelmed with these things. I mean, these are things that can bother people. In fact, there in Luke chapter 21, starting verse 25, it says, and there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for the looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Then shall they see the Son of Man coming in cloud with power and great glory. And then that's when he says, when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And, you know, we understand that the purpose, if you look in Daniel chapter 9, I don't have time to go there and read it right now, but the purpose of Daniel's 70th week from Daniel chapter 9, which I believe corresponds to the tribulation period, is a time for him to wrap up the judgment on Israel and the world that has rejected him. And during the course of that time, the Jewish people, Romans chapter 11 brings this out, are going to embrace Christ as the Messiah. They're going to reject the false Messiah, the Antichrist, during that time. Some people will follow him, but God will reach the heart of the Jewish people, and they will embrace Christ as their Messiah, and the Bible talks about the nation being saved, coming to faith in Christ, and then, of course, the Antichrist, inspired by the devil, will be trying to kill them. Revelation chapter 13, 12 and 13 talks about this at length, and you know, it's troublesome times coming on the earth, but I want to encourage people, if you put your faith in Christ, in Jesus Christ, as your Lord and Savior, before God catches away the believers out of the world, the Bible says that we will be with him during this time. The Bible says we're not appointed under wrath. The time of the tribulation, Daniel's 70th week, is a time of the judgment of God, just like we had read earlier in Zechariah chapter 10 about them praying for the latter rains because they were under judgment, and some of the things we talked about in the last half hour. We need to realize that now is the time to put our faith in Christ and believe him and believe his word, and then reach out to others with the gospel so that they can be spared those things, spared the wrath of God that's coming upon this world. Much like what Noah had to say in his time frame, to turn to God and believe him and turn from their sins so they can be spared the wrath of God that was coming to judge the world, which of course came in the form of the flood. And do I know that the Lord is coming back in this year or next year? No, I do not. I absolutely do not. But what I do know is he is coming back. And he said, we ought to know the time and the season. We won't know the day nor the time, but we should know the season, and that we should be watching and waiting. And that's what we need to do. We need to be watching and waiting. Our heart needs to be right with God, and we need to be reaching others. Thanks for listening tonight. God bless. Join us next time.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and every Friday night at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 o'clock on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.
The preceding program's views, claims, or representations may not reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Media Group.